We've been talking in 2 Timothy about if we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
I want to look at one more of what it, the reigning thing. Revelation 22.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now I believe that we are at this place right now, if you're on the mercy seat. And so there's no more need for protecting yourself or taking care of yourself or any other self issue. Now, it just seems logical that if you say you're trusting him with your salvation, with your whatever you... your eternal salvation, all that. Wouldn't it be, it would seem logical to me that you would trust him right now for the basics of life. He said, as we said, read yesterday about all of the examples of the birds in the air, they sow not, neither do they spin, et cetera, et cetera. And it seems to me that what we're missing in Christianity is that we say the right things, many of us believe we're in the last day, the night of the last Sabbath. But yet we get anxious and concerned about the same thing that the Gentiles get concerned and anxious about. What's wrong with that picture? If every hair of your head is numbered, it seems like here's what I think we're in. A long time ago we talked about this, that even, you know, it's understandable that you guys come up with these harebrained. There's a new movie out about Dan Brown's new movie about some sequel. You'll probably make $1 jillion. Or the whole Dominionist movement, which are taking over the government, and trying to, invading Iraq, because Gog and Magog are somewhere up there. And that's fine for them up there. That's not our business in reality. What our business is here, today, in this day, that we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's go there. Romans 14, I think. But I may be wrong. Oh, no, I wasn't. Romans 14, verse
I just saw it, now I lost it again. Anyway, make no provision for the flesh. And then, but the point of this is, for the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's, what is keeping us from that joy? What is it? I believe that it is, we're one step away from the edge. And the joy comes only at that knife edge between soul and spirit, where you have no investment in anything. You just, you're faithful to whatever is put before you. You're never judged by what you don't have. But if you're faithful to what's set before you, the integrity of God demands that you will have, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. How long is it going to take for us to really understand and live that?
And also not judging others by what they have or don't have. A lot of times it can be.
That was the Ronnie scripture we read the other day, don't compare. All right, let's go back to 2 Timothy. We've read it's if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we now comes the interesting stuff. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Remember, there's two different words for deny. Let's go first to Matthew 8:34. Not Matthew, excuse me, Mark 8. Verse 34. And the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. Now the word deny, where it says let him deny himself, It couldn't be any stronger. It's the word that it's apernomai, and it means utterly and completely disown, never even to think about or to touch again. You utterly disown yourself. Now, the best word in English that describes that is 100% abandonment of self, so that there is no more I motive in any aspect of anything that you do, not even to the point of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Now, it's only at that point where the joy of the Lord is. It's not one step back. It's total risk, including what you say. Every time I open my mouth, I risk offending everyone, and you're all gone. That's what has been true for me since it wasn't true for about the first 5 years because I just sort of played with it then. But and I'm not, I act like I don't like anybody, but I really love you, and it would kill me when it kills me when people leave. Well, that's easy to fix, Holy. Just be nicer. No, I'm too late for that. I'm with Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. And everything in every way for all these years, the exhortation has been to prove it. Prove it.
to your own self. Know you not your own self, all that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And you can't repent if you're reprobate. You've got to constantly, because you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, so how can you utterly disown yourself? Then there would be nothing. So you play at religion. It becomes a philosophy. We had a great Bible study last night because John opened his mouth.
It was great.
Of course, he was wrong, but... But that's the joy is at that explosion. It's that abandoning of the carefulness and the measured response. And oh, what am I? How can I talk to today? What can I say? Don't say anything if you don't have anything to say. But by God in heaven, if something is arising within you, let it out. This idea, the fruit of the utterly disowning yourself is that you will never again try to be. You will just be. And that's freedom. Anybody have any response to this? Apparently not. All right, so if we deny him, that's not the word that's used here in 2 Timothy. The word, if you want to be his disciple, you must deny yourself, utterly abandon. Now, I've heard this ever since I started preaching about this. Well, that's so hard to do. No, it's not. It's the easiest thing in the universe to do. It's as easy... It's as easy as your heart beating. It's because you don't have a governor on yourself anymore. Utterly disown. Now back to 2 Timothy. If we deny him, he will deny us. That's a similar word, but it's I can't even say it. Arneomai. And it means what I've just been talking about. It means that you, by your you-ness, have put a dam to prevent the rivers of living water from coming out of your inner being. You have dammed it because you're careful about what you're going to say. You're careful about what you're going to think and talk about. You're careful. Because you, and again, everybody says this, but it's true for all of us. May not like everybody, including me, is hardwired to conflict avoidance. You don't want to have that conflict. And so you dam yourself. You build a dam. And the problem is that dam has been there because of the fall. And so it's the way you used to be, hopefully, where everything was measured. Everything was, you know, it's what does this mean to me and all that other stuff we've talked about endlessly. But now in him, we no longer deny him before men. We deny him not by saying he doesn't exist or that he isn't the Savior. We deny him by saying we exist. You understand that? No. That's the hardest hard wire in your system. Because in our culture and in the Christianity that most of us grew up in, the predicate of it wasn't the previous verse, that we be dead with him. And so therefore we thought, and we still do, we try to measure ourselves against others. We try to get it right.
We try to do the right thing. We try to be nice people.
Go ahead. Did you have something?
I was cat. They're pushing a grill.
What? All right. So in verse 12, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And both those words are this arneomai. 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 But in his denying of us, it's the bad one. It's the kakos, arneomai. It means from him, his standpoint, before the Father, we never even existed.
I think if it weren't for this one scripture, I wouldn't want to say anything. But that's the scariest scripture.
Let's go visit some scriptures. Go to Matthew 10. Did you ever, when you were young, did you ever move to a new school?
Yeah.
What happened? What you do is, you're mostly silent. You sort of watch and see who's got the control, who's got the power. You try to integrate yourself into some group, any group, so that you have some commonality. And the younger you are when that happens, the more incredibly difficult it is. Anybody remember that?
Vividly. It was the worst thing ever happened.
Does it remind you of now? What?
Exactly.
Are there any issues that remind you of then to now?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Remember how stupid that was?
Yes.
You'd have sold your mother's soul to be accepted. I remember when in Minnesota, you know, we had a big culture with all the family and cousins, and I was head of club, and then we, you know, all that other stuff. And so then we moved to Arizona, and we moved from what I thought was a really nice place. We moved into a shack, in my opinion. I was about 8 years old or something, 8 or 9, and I was just mortified. I had to work. I had to go to work. It went out right away to help support our family. And so I worked as a caddy. And the most disgusting thing there was I was working for a caddy as a caddy for the kids I was in school with. It seemed like it was a no-win situation. Then my mother went to work. My dad just went down and lived off his brother. But my mother went to work, and she was a nurse, but she wasn't making enough money, so she worked for some of the other people who I went to school with. Now, that is almost a good analogy, maybe it is for some, about what it's like to come into the kingdom of God. Except in the kingdom of God, you don't have to concern yourself with it one iota. Because you know that you're accepted in the brethren. If you don't know that, then whatever else you have to do, you have to find that out. You just, for those of you who've been here a while, just think. We've been together for a jillion years. Why would you ever have to measure your words? Why would you ever have to defend yourself? That acceptance is what you've been searching for your whole life. We talked about it when we had the employee meetings. It means that you're home. There's no more trying to be. You're not accepted for your accomplishments or how witty you are. You're accepted for a reason that's beyond our consciousness. And you're loved without condition. Then why would you continue trying to be? Because every time you try to be, you're enforcing that dam that you have created that is keeping the rivers of living water from flowing out of your inner being. Well, if I say what's on my head, then I'll get yelled at or something. Who cares? Matthew 10. Did I say that?
No, you just said Matthew.
What?
Yeah, you just said Matthew 10. No,
he did.
He said
Matthew 10.
Okay. Oh, I actually found it.
Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you have more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And now for those conflict avoiders, listen to the next verse. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you remember, love is the verb in all these cases. Now these are hard sayings, but you can't pick and choose in the Bible. How do you know you love mother or father more than me? How do you know you love brother or sister more than me? Because you couch your words. Does that sound familiar? All right, 2 Peter. No, get 2 Timothy first, chapter 3, where we're going to read ahead a second. Any response from the Rutledges?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking you were talking about how long we've been together and everything. I was just reading a thing that said that the average pastorate in a Southern Baptist church is 18 months.
What?
So it's like, think about that and trying to form some kind of acceptance or, you know, it's just kind of impossible.
That's sad. The Barner survey had another thing like that about the length of time that people spend in the mega churches. It's not, I don't remember what the time was.
Someplace else,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
For men shall be lovers. Now again, you got to hear the word love here. It's a verb. It means give importance to. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, they deny the power thereof. How do you deny the power thereof? You deny the power that's inherent in him by your governor, your damning. You understand? You decide how you're going to respond. You decide how you're going to, what you're going to say. You decide when the right time to say what you're going to. You do all these things instead of you're denying his power. You have the dam. I don't care what those guys out there are doing. I care what happens here. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power, the ability, the efficacy thereof. You, for some reason, we forget that we're dead. So we then, as dead men, the only one that's living in us that we give breath to is that evil one. That instead of Christ, that Antichrist, that number 666, and instead of having his name in our forehead, we have 666 in our forehead, trying to do it right, trying to find rest, trying to be at peace. Can't be done. All right, one more. Maybe two more. 2 Peter 2. We just heard about take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this, in verse 20 of chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. How do we deny the Lord that bought him, that bought us? We deny him by this dam that we all have a tendency to build. Do you understand that? Did I say one more? One more. Jude, your favorite book. Somebody copied somebody here, but Jude chapter 2, verse 2. How did that happen? I put Jude 1, verse 4. That's not good. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, do you understand? This is kind of important. If we deny him before men, he will deny us before the Father. No more dams. No more couching your words.
All right, that's enough for today. Tomorrow, or whenever. No, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So you have to teach tomorrow. Can you teach tomorrow?
Okay.
If we believe not, is the next verse, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that's the best news there is in the universe. But it has that little few words there has a surprise in it. I'm billboarding. Anybody have any response? I'm going to Oklahoma City. I'm leaving this place. Take it, big guy.